All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We're picking up. Today's daf is Kuf 100. We are picking up on the top of Kuf, the Mishnah. Hamachlif para b'chamer. Hamachlif para b'chamer. So we'll say, so a person goes ahead. We dedicate our learning this morning, the Zuchus of Tamar Adina Baskina Shulamis, who is undergoing a important surgery today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Chole Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah.
Amen.
So let's begin the Mishnah. Machlif para b'chamer. Suppose an interesting case. Two people, Reuven and Shimon, are going ahead and exchanging animals, employing the process called chalipin. So remember, we've discussed chalipin extensively in the past. To make a very long story short, so chalipin is a flip act of acquisition, which means that, let's say again, I have a shor, I have an ox, Reuven has a chamor, so he wants to acquire my ox, I want to acquire his donkey. We agree to exchange the animals through the process of chalipin. Once one of us takes possession of one of the animals, the other of us automatically acquires the other animal, and the chiddush over here is what? Even though that animal may be at a separate location. So as soon as Reuven does meshicha on my shor, on my ox, I acquire his chamor, even if his chamor is, you know, two towns over. So we'll say, so now we get into a very interesting case. Amachlif para b'chamor. So if one is going ahead and using chalipin to affect the transaction of a para, of a cow, and a donkey, the yolda. Now, boss, and I watch this. So let's illustrate this case over here. So I have a cow, and Reuven has a donkey. So what happens? I go ahead and I do meshicha on Reuven's donkey, and he acquires my para. The only issue is my para is not here with us now. My para is in New York. So what happens? The yolda. Mazel tov, my para gave birth. Now we're going to see what the issue is. V'cheina mocher shevchasa v'yalda. And similarly again, or I sold Reuven my maidservant. And what happens? And the maidservant gave birth. Now what's the issue over here? Ze omer atchlo macharti v'ze omer mishalakachti. So we'll say, so the seller of the par or the seller of the shivcha says like this. Listen, the par, the cow, or the shivcha gave birth before the sale. Therefore what? Therefore, the vlad, the offspring, belongs to me, the seller. On the other hand, the ze omer, mishalakachti. Now, the buyer, on the other hand, says, no, the par, or the shivcha, gave birth when? After the sale, after already owned it, and therefore, I am the owner of the vlad. So we'll say, so what's the halacha in that case? Yachloku. The halacha in that case is, we split the value of the contested item. So whether the contested item is a par, whether the contested item is the child of the shifcha, we split the value of that item or of that person. So says the Gemara. However, says the Mishnah. Fine. Yachloku. Hayulo beis avadim. Echad gadol v'echad katam. V'chein beis sados achas kidola v'achas katana. Similarly, we'll say, let's say I have two avadim. One who is an adult, one who's a child. Or it could be small and large also. Or two fields. One that is small and one that is large. So what happens? I sell one of these items to Reuven. So halakeach omer gadol lakachti. So the purchaser says, Reuven says, I purchased the large eved, or I purchased the large field. Vahalo omer, and ultimately I, the seller, say, no, eini yodea. You know what? I don't remember which one I sold you. I don't remember which one I sold you. So we'll say, so remember again, this could also be talking about a case where lemaisa, again, either the value is not indicative, right? The value doesn't necessarily indicate which one was sold, whatever the metzias is. But the point over here is Reuven, the purchaser, is claiming he bought the larger item. I, the seller, am just simply saying, I don't know. So we'll say, what's talacha? Zocha begadol. So ultimately, again, the purchaser, and I'll also say this seems to be a case of bari v'shema. So remember, again, the purchaser is bari. He is definitive in his claim that what? That he purchased the larger item. I am shema. I'm just not definitive in my claim. I don't know. I just don't know. So therefore, again, the purchaser acquires the larger item. Hamocher omer katan macharti v'halo omer eini yodea. What happens if the seller says, I sold you the smaller one, either the smaller eved or the smaller piece of karka, and the purchaser says, I don't remember, I don't know. Ein lo ela katan. Ultimately, you know, in a case like that, the purchaser only has a right to take the smaller of the items, either the smaller eved or the smaller field. Ze omer gadol v'ze omer katan. Oh, what's that? If it's machlokas, right? I, the seller, say I sold you the smaller one, field or eved, and the purchaser says, no, I bought the larger one, field or eved, yishava hamocher, shakatan, macher, yishava hamocher, shakatan macher. So ultimately, we're going to say in a case like this, we tell the seller to swear that he indeed sold the smaller item, and ultimately, again, that's the resolution. That's the resolution. Ze omer eini yodea, ze omer eini yodea. We'll say, what happens if both of them claim, we know we did business, neither of them obviously are very good businessmen. We know we did business with each other, but we don't know exactly what we bought and what we sold. So what's talacha? Yachloku. In a case like that, I'm sorry? You're saying l'chaim, right? They still chose that with a couple of l'chaims. So what happens to yachloku? So ultimately, again, in that case, they will go ahead and they will split the difference. Right? We'll discuss all these cases. Says the Gemara. Now we'll say, amay yachloku. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. We're going back now to the first case of the Mishnah. Remember, what's the first case? I'm selling Reuven my par. Reuven's selling me his chamor. But the way we're doing it is because, let's assume a case like this, chalipin usually works with items of like value. So let's say the value of the two items are the same. So we're going to employ the method of chalipin. So what happens? I acquire Reuven's par. I do meshicha on his par, on his cow. Excuse me. I do meshicha on his chamor, on his donkey. And he acquires my par. My par is not here right now. Turns out he goes to get the par. And mazel tov, there's a little baby calf. Thing, right, a little baby calf. So what happens again? What's our machlokas? I claim that the cow gave birth before I sold it. Therefore, again, the calf belongs to me. Reuven claims the cow gave birth after the sale, and therefore the calf belongs to him. So what did the Mishnah paskin? The Mishnah said yachloku. We split the value of the calf. So it says the Gemara, amay yachloku. I don't understand. Why should we say yachloku? I don't understand. Let's see in whose possession is the calf, right? Whoever has possession of the calf, right? Possession is 9/10 of the law. Whoever has possession of the calf should be considered to be the owner of the animal, and the other person is the extractor of money. And again, we have a principle. Whenever you want to extract money from the possession of another, the burden of proof is upon the extractor. So again, let's say in this case over here, it turns out that the cow was still on my property, right? Even though I did Mashiach on Reuven's Chamor and Reuven acquired the cow, but the cow is sitting on my property. The calf is in my property. Therefore, I am the default owner of the calf. And if Reuven wants to prove that the cow gave birth after the sale, the burden of proof is upon him. To which the Gemara says, "Chiyah bar Avin am Shmuel ba'omedes ba'agum." Oh, what's the case over here? The case is where the cow is standing in a swamp. In other words, the cow is not in anyone's property. It was just grazing out in the swamp. So because of that, you can't claim a mozi mechaver alav araya, to which the Gemara says, shivchanami dekayim besimta. And in the case of a maidservant, it would be that she was in a simta. Simta rabosei means like in an area. Kirashtis keren zavis hasmucha l'rachava mochin ba behemos v'avadim. It's a corner off the Rosh Hashanah. So bottom line, the Gemara says, we're talking about a case where both the shivcha and the cow are not in anyone's rishus. Therefore, again, you can't claim osi mechaver alav araya. V'nukma acheskas demara kamo. Even if you don't have geographic chazak, I will say, here's what we know. We know definitively that this cow or this maidservant was owned by me. I am the last known owner, right before this sale. So why don't we assume, therefore, that the default reality is that the calf was born in my rishus, or that the maidservant had her baby in my rishus. In other words, just if when in doubt, just establish, just put the calf and put the baby in the last known chazaka orientation, which was under my ownership. And therefore, again, if Reuven wants to go ahead and claim that it was born after the sale, that burden of proof is upon him. To which the Gemara says, because whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? How money? Sumchasi damar mamon amotel besafek cholkin below shvua. Because it's okay, the Mishnah reflects if you have sumchas is of the opinion that whenever you have doubt regarding money, so we'll call mamon hamotel besafek, any type of money that's under doubt, that loch is cholkin, we split it. So whenever there's doubt, sumchas says resolution always is just split the money. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, emar damar sumchas b'shema b'shema. So says the Gemara, but 1 second, doesn't Sumchas say Mamon Hamotel B'Safek Chokin B'lo Shvua in a case of what we call Shema V'Shema? Shema V'Shema B'Safek means that neither party has a firm claim. Both parties are saying, we're not sure what happened. So that's when Sumchas says, okay, listen, if no one really knows what happened, we'll just say Chokin. However, bebari ubari mi amar, does Simchas ever make his statement with bari and bari? Meaning, does Simchas ever go ahead and say that when both parties make a definitive claim, like our Mishnah, where I'm saying the calf was born in my Rishos, and Reuven is saying, no, the calf was born in my Rishos, does Simchas say, in that case, Momen HaMotel B'Safek Cholkin? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, in Amar Simchas Afilu Bebari Ubari. So both say, comes along Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and says, yes, Simchas' statement, ultimately, again, of Maman Hamutal B'Safek Cholkin, that whenever you have a doubt about money, the resolution is to split the doubt. That's literally, to split the doubt, to take that which is in doubt and split it between the parties. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna holds that Simchas even holds that, even when both sides are making definitive claims, like in our Mishnah. Rava says no. Li'olam ki Amar Simchas Shema V'Shema. When does Simchas say Maman Hamotel B'Safek Cholkin? That's only when both parties are making Shema claims. In other words, neither party is claiming to know what actually happened. Both are saying, we don't know what's going on. Aval bari ubari lo amar. But ultimately, again, when both parties are making definitive claims, Simchas does not apply Maman Hamotel B'Safek Cholkin b'lo shvua. So what about the Mishnah? V'tani ze omer Shema ad shalom acharti. So interestingly enough, according to Rava, you have to add in another word in the Mishnah, which is what? Shema. That the case of the Mishnah Rabosai is where after Reuven and I did the Chalip and on the Chamor, and Reuven acquires my para, and then we show up to the para, and the para had a baby, I say, perhaps the cow gave birth before the sale. And Reuven says, perhaps the cow gave birth after the sale. Oh, so it's a Shema V'Shema case. Where it's a Shema V'Shema case, then we can employ Maman HaMotel B'Safek Cholkin below Shavua. So I'll say, so what we have over here is the following. What we have over here is a fundamental machlokes. Let's take a step back. We're trying to understand the first ruling in the Mishnah. So the easiest way to understand it is that it reflects the view of Simchas. Simchas holds Maman HaMotel B'Safek Cholkin below Shavua. Whenever you have a doubt, two parties claiming the same item, and again, there's no way of really resolving who it actually belongs to, we split it without a Shavua. Right? We split the contested amount. Now we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rava, about the statement of Simchas. When does that statement apply? So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says that applies in all cases, whether the parties are making definitive claims, what we call bari claims or shema claims. Rava says no. Simchas' statement was only designed for shema claims, only in situations where the parties say, "Listen, we just don't know what happened over here." Simchas says, "Fine, you don't know what happened. I have a simple resolution, yachloku." But in bari claims, Simchas would not allow. Or Simchas would not condone this mechanism of Yachloku. So we'll say, so what this yields essentially is, according to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rava, two different readings of the Mishnah. The readings aren't all that divergent, they're just different by one word, which is Shema. So Tinan. So we'll say, so we're not finished with this. Tinan. Ze Omer Ini Odea, Ze Omer Ini Odea. So let's remember again, the next case of the Mishnah was, same case of Chalipin, but in this case over here, I, the seller, say, you know what? I don't know if the cow gave birth before or after the sale. And Reuven says, I don't know if the cow gave birth before or after the sale. Yachloku. Ultimately, again, they split the difference. They split the amount. So it says, Bishlama l'Rava, me the Sefer Shema v'Shema Reishna, me Shema v'Shema. So according to Rava, the Mishnah reads beautifully. Because just like the second part of the Mishnah is a case of Shema v'Shema, neither party is making definitive claims. So to the Reisha is also a case of Shema V'Shema, meaning it's Mishnaic symmetry. Ella l'Rava Bar Rav Huna, the Amar in Amar Simchas Afilu Bebari Ubari. But what's the Kohen Tribe Bar Rav Huna, who sets up the first case of the Mishnah as a case of Bari Ubari, where both parties are making a definitive claim, both of them saying, the calf belongs to me. I say the calf belongs to me, Reuven says the calf belongs to me, and yes, Simcha still says, Yachloku, Cholkin below Shavua, then, Sohashta, Bari Ubari, Amar Yachloku. So we'll say, if in the case of Bari Ubari, we're going to say Yachloku, Shema V'Shema Miboy, Does the Mishnah need to teach me a case of Shem B'Shem? And others will say, if the Mishnah is already teaching me that even when both parties are making definitive claims, Bari Ubari, the halacha is still going to be what? It's still going to be Yachloku. It goes without saying that what? That if both parties are making Shema claims, then of course the halacha is going to be Yachloku as well. So if that's the case, after we state the Reisha, which is Bari Ubari, why do we need to state the Seifa, which is Shema Ushema? To which the Mishnah says, no. Imishum ha. So if that's your question, that's not such a question. Because Tana Seifa Legaluye Reisha. Because ultimately, again, the Seifa could come to shed light on the Reisha. How so? Shelo Tomar Reisha Shema Veshema. Don't think for a moment that the Reisha is a case of Shema and Shema. Aval Bari Ubari Lo. But in the case of Bari and Bari, we would not say Achloku. Therefore, Tana Seifa Shema Veshema. Because what happens? The Mishnah includes a case of Shema Veshema and tells you Yachloku. Mechlad Reisha Bari Ubari. So I'll say from the fact that the Seifa is a case of Shema Ushema, that must mean that what? The key for Reisha is a case of Bari Ubari. And yet, what do we learn? Fafiluach Yachloku. Nevertheless, even in the case of Bari Ubari, Sumchus will hold Yachloku. Sumchus will hold that we split the contested amount. So we'll say, so again, all we're doing now is taking, here's what we've done, is we've pretty much established that the Mishnah reflects the view of Sumchus. We just now have, and Sumchus says, Maman Hamutal Besafik Cholkin, whenever you have doubts regarding money, you split that amount. Good morning, Mr. Shalom. But yet, the Machlokis now is, ultimately, again, when do we apply the statement of Sumchus? So we have Rav Bar Avuna telling us, even in Bari Ubari, certainly Shema and Shema. And we have Rava saying, no, only Shema Ushema, but not Bari Ubari. And therefore, all we're seeing is, depending on how you understand Sumchus, will ultimately shape how you read the Mishnah. So it says the Gemara Tanan. So we go weiter. So also remember again, the next case of the Mishnah was, I sell a servant to Reuven, or again a field, whatever it is, right? So what happens? I have two fields or two servants. One is large, one is small. So what happens? Ze omer gadol v'ze omer katan. So Reuven says, I sold him the larger one. I say I sold him the smaller one. So what's the halacha? Yishava hamocher shekatan machar. Ultimately, again, I, the seller, swear that I sold him the smaller one. So, Bishlam al Rava, the Amar. So, this makes sense according to Rava, who says, Kemar Sumchus, Shema Ushema. Sumchus only says, Mamana Motu Besafek Cholkin, only in the case of Shema and Shema. Ava Bari Ubari Lo. But Rava says, in a case where both parties are making definitive claims, we don't say Mamana Motu Besafek Cholkin. Therefore, Bishum Hachi Yishava. So we'll say it makes sense, therefore, in this case, why I, the seller, have to swear. Why? Because in this case, we're talking about definitive claims. I am claiming definitively, Reuven has sold you the smaller field. Reuven is claiming definitively, silver, you sold me the larger field. So according to Rav, we'll say this makes sense. You can't say Cholkin over here. Why? Because this is a case of Bari Ubari. Both are taking definitive stances. Therefore, the only resolution is for me, the seller, to take a Shvua, to affirm that I only sold him the smaller one. But according to Rabbi Barafun, who says that Sumchus' position of Mamon Hamutal B'Safek Cholkin applies even in a case of Bari Ubari, where both parties are making definitive claims, then Amai Yishava, then ultimately again, why is it that the seller is swearing? Amai Yishava Mocher, Yachlokum Yibayle. Ultimately, what should be the halacha? Rabbi say the halacha should be that they should divide it. To which the Gemara says something very interesting. Modes Sumchus Hecha Diika Shvua Da'oraisa. Both say, so Sumchus will agree that in any situation where there is a biblical oath that comes about, where there is an obligation for an oath, for a biblical oath, even Sumchus will agree that under that case we do not say Yachloku. Rather, again, we have the Shvua. As we will see later on. So we'll say, so take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So we'll say, as we're going to see later on, there's a number of different factors that we're going to bring into play over here. But Lamaisa, for our purposes, the way we're just going to explain this now, is that even Sumchus will agree that when do we say Mamon Hamotel B'Safek, That's only when there is no biblical obligation for Shavua. But as soon as there's a biblical obligation for Shavua, then Lemaisa, the Shavua will be the mechanism that resolves the situation. We will not say Yachloku. So we'll say, so bottom line, what are we left with over here? What we're left with is the following. That everyone is going to agree that Lemaisa, the Mishnah, reflects the view of Sumchus. The application of Shitas Sumchus is in and of itself subject to dispute. And the fundamental dispute is that between Rabbi Bar Avuna and Rava as to when does Sumchus say, Mamon Hamutal B'Safek Cholkin. Rabbi Bar Avuna will say, even in a case of Bari and Bari, and Rava will say only in a case of Shema V'Shema. And again, all we've done so far from the beginning of this daf until these two dafs is figure out, based on those two versions of Sumchus, will yield you two different readings of the Mishnah. Good. We'll get a little halacha ma'aseh today on this also. So remember again, the Mishnah said, I have two slaves, or two fields, one large, one small, and I sold, and what happens? So we saw a couple of different variations of this case. The purchaser says that he purchased the large one, and I say, with the three cases where I say I don't know, so in that case over there, we'll say that's Bari V'Shema Bari Adif, the purchaser gets the larger one. The next case was, I say I sold him the smaller one, and he says I don't know, he gets the smaller one. If I say the large, small, I say the seller, say the smaller one. He, the purchaser, says the larger one. In that case, he shava hamocher. I, the seller, swear that I only sold him the smaller one, and that's it. If both of us say we don't know, then yachloku. Says the Gemara, amayi shava. So let's talk about the Shavua case. So in the Shavua case, I'm claiming, I sold, Reuben, I sold you the smaller eved, or the smaller field. Reuven saying, no, you sold me the larger one. So what's the halacha? I, the seller, swear that I only sold him the smaller one, and that's it. So amai yishava. So we'll say, so what seems to be the logic behind this shavua? So I ask the Gemara, amai yishava. Well, why should I have to swear? Masha tano lo hodolo, umasha hodolo lo tano. Remember, we had this yesterday. A shavua only comes about where there's some commonality in the claim. Right, so for example, the paradigmatic example of this is Mode B'Mikzos. So Reuven says, I owe him $1,000, and what do I say? I owe you $500. So a Shavua is engendered in that case. Why? Because Lemaisa, we're on the same page. In other words, we're talking about the same claim. We just have a machlokis as to how much that claim is. But both of us agree that there's money owed. But if, let's say again, Reuven says, and we're going to discuss this, you know, you owe me wheat. And I say, no, you owe me $1,000 worth of wheat. And I say, I owe you $500 worth of barley. So it says, we're going to see, according to many opinions, so there's no shavua in that case, because what he's claiming, I'm not admitting, and what I'm admitting is not what he's claiming. So the Gemara suggests over here, the same idea should apply over here. Reuven's claiming that I sold him a large eved, or a large field. I'm claiming that I sold him a small eved, or a small field. We're not talking the same language. We're talking about two different things. If we're talking about two different things, then why is there an obligation for shavua? To which the Gemara says, va'od, furthermore, heilachu. I will say, this is actually very interesting. There's a case, Heilachu means, look at Rashi for just a moment. Heilachu, v'zesh shemo da'alav muchon hu litlo, v'ika l'mandamar heilach patr parakam. So also remember, Heilach means that which I admit to is readily collectible. So where this comes up is the following, that according to some, we saw this opinion earlier on as well, that where the claim that I am admitting to is readily collectible, that's not even called modib mixas. So modib mixas comes up in a case where if Reuven says, I owe me $1,000, and I claim I only owe you $500, but I'll pay you the $500. But we'll say, any case of haluch means, I admit that I owe you X, and here it is, take it, that's haluch. So according to many opinions, when the item is readily collectible right now, that's not even modib mixas. So we'll say, in this case, the Gemara is just saying over here, I don't understand why the mocher, why the seller, has to take a shavua. Number one, we're not talking about the same thing. What you're claiming from me a large eved, I'm claiming only sold you a small eved. Furthermore, it's halach. I'm telling you that which I agree that I owe you is readily collectible. Va'od, einish ban ala avadim. Furthermore, I will say again, we don't take a shavua over avadim. Now, the logic behind the fact that we don't take a shavua regarding avadim is why. This would be based on the idea that avadim hukshul karkos, that slaves are like real property, and the halach is you don't take a shavua regarding real property. So if you put this all together, it's kind of like the perfect halachic storm, which seems to create an ironclad question on our Mishnah as to why exactly the seller is taking a shvua. Amarav, so Rav says, oh, betani dami, dame sada gadol, dame sada ketana. So Rav is an interesting resolution. Rav says, oh, you're right. The case is not literally where you're claiming an eved, or you're claiming a field. Rather, what are you claiming? Value, money. This is not about avodim or property. This is about money. Okay, so if it's about money, then we can hear how there'd be a shvu in that case. Shmuel Amar, betano ksus eved gadol, ksus eved katan. Omri sadik gdola, omri sadik tana. And Shmuel says, the case we're talking about of Yerubosai, again, so Shmuel would agree with Rav, that we're not really talking about the eved or the field itself. Rather, we're talking about the clothing of the eved or the sheaves of the field. Clothing of the eved. So again, we'll say bottom line is they're both agreeing. We're not talking about the avodim or the karka themselves. Rather, again, we're talking about either about the value of these items. That's the machlokas, and that's why the mocha, the seller, has to take a shvua. Or we're talking about that which is attached to these items, either the clothing of the eved or ultimately the sheaves of the field. Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Ksus. For one second. So now you're going to set this up over here. Is what's the case? I'm claiming that I sold Reuven the clothing of a small eved. And Reuven's claiming that what? He bought the clothing of a large eved. But do we not run into the same problem? Masha tano lo hodolo, or masha hoda lo tano. We'll say, same question, which is what? They're not speaking the same language. Remember, it's two different things. The clothing of a small eved is going to be something dramatically different than the clothing of a large eved. So we're not running into a problem that they're not arguing about the same item, or the claim is not the same. So because of that, there should be no shvuah. Kedam Rapapa, as Rapapa explains, bidi yalfi. We're talking about over here with a yalfi. Hachanai bidi yalfi. What is this? Look at Rashi. Bidi yalfi. Shebeged shalim haya. Va'adayin mechuber ze omer ksus gedol macharti lecha. So as I say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara is explaining over here is the following. We'll see this later on in Rashi as well. This Yalfi referred to an article of clothing that was made out of a number of patches of fabric. So the difference between a clothing of a large eved or a small eved would be that in a large eved, it would be one large article of clothing, versus for a small eved, there'd be like a neck hole in the middle. So in other words, the ultimate size of the garment would actually be the same. There's just a shaila as to whether or not there's the neck hole in the middle for a katan versus there wouldn't be for a gadol. So we're just trying to point out over here that that would be a case where what was being claimed is the same, is within the same ballpark as that is which is being admitted. So the Gemara says, Kashi Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia had the following problem with this entire discussion. Midik sus katani. So also remember again, the way that Shmuel wanted to, so also remember, understand, the Gemara raised the problem with this case. So remember, we're talking about a very specific case over here. I sold an Eved to Reuven. Reuven claims I sold him a large Eved, or large field. Eved and field is interchangeable here. I claim I sold you, bless you. I claim that I sold you a small Eved, or a small field. What did the Mishnah paskin? The Mishnah says that I, the seller, have to take a shvua that I only sold him a small item, and therefore, again, and I give him the small item, and we're done. The Gemara is the kasha on this. Again, how could this be true? A, why is there a shvua? At the end of the day, again, what I, the seller, am claiming I sold him is not what he is claiming he bought. So there's no commonality in claims. When there's no claim commonality, ultimately there's no shvua. That's number one. Number two is it's not a situation of halach. Halach means whenever the item is readily available, it's not even a motive of mixas. And number three, we don't take shvuas on karka or on avadin. You put that all together, and why is there ultimately, again, going to be any kind of shvuah? To which, again, the Gemara gave essentially two answers, which are kind of the same. You're right. We're not talking about karka. We're not talking about avadim. Rav says we're talking about the value of these items. Shmuel says we're talking about the clothing of these items. Okay. So now, says Rav Oshia. Kashle Rav Oshia. So Rav Oshia had a problem with Shmuel's statement. Shmuel says we're talking about clothing. Midi ksus katani, eved katani. So here's one problem. Shmuel, you know what? I love what you're saying, except doesn't work with the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about clothing. The Mishnah is quite explicit that the case we're talking about over here is what? The selling of avadim. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about sheaves. The Mishnah speaks about property. Ela amar Rav Oshia, kigon shetanu eved bikesuso. Oh, v'sada ba'omreha. Oh, we'll say, what's the case? The case over here is that the claim involves the Eved and his clothing, the field and its sheaves. So in this case, also what's happening over here is the following. Reuven is claiming that I sold him a large Eved with its clothing. I am claiming, no, I only sold you a small Eved with its clothing, or whatever, or you could interchange field and Eved. Now watch this. I will say, now that makes it a bit easier. So the Vakati, Ksus Mashatano Lohodolo, Umasha Hodolo Lotano, but again, still with the clothing, that which is being claimed is not that which is being emitted. Amarapapa Dialfi. I will say to which Rapapa, so we should go back to Rapapa said, no, we're talking about garments that are patchwork. And therefore, again, it's the same size garment, the only shaila is if there's a neck hole in it or not. So I will say, what Raboshia just accomplished was the following. Raboshia said, It's not the clothing to the exclusion of the avodim, but rather the Mishnah is talking about a case where there's a double claim. It's the eved with his clothing. It's the field with the sheaves. So we'll say the reason that works for us, the reason that is helpful to us, is because we need some type of movable property involved over here in order to generate a shvua obligation. And once I could swear about the movable item, whether it's the sheaves or whether it's the clothing, I could then swear about the Eben, and I could then swear about the karka as well. Kasha the Rav Shesha. So we'll say, so Rav Shesha said, Rav Shesha said the following problem. Zokikin aslashmina. So we'll say, so essentially what you're telling me is the following. Is the point of the Mishnah to teach me Zokikin? Now what's Zokikin? Zokikin is another word for Gilgul Shavua. Remember we had this yesterday? So Zokikin means that there are certain areas that don't generate an oath. For example, karka and avodim. But once you are swearing about something else, you can throw in there other shvuos as well. So says Rav Sheshes, are you therefore telling me that the point of this mission is to teach me that what? Once I'm swearing about the clothing, or once I'm swearing about the sheaves, then I could be made obligated to what? Swear about the event and swear about the property. Meaning, is that your take-home message? Is that the mission is coming to teach me? Tanina. But that came with the mission teaching, because we've already learned that. Zokikin hanechasim she'in lehen achrayis, as hanechasim she'yesh lehen achrayis l'shalem. Listen, we learned this already. We learned this already. That even though I can't take a shavua on real property, but once I'm taking a shvua on movable property, there's gilgul. Right? The shvua could devolve upon real property. Well, we already learned that. So why would the Mishnah need to teach me that again? Ella Amar Rav Sheshes Hamani. And I both say, watch this. Whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Meir he. Da Amar Avda Kimetaltlin Dami. So I'll say, in reality, our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that Avodim are like Metaltlin. Wow. So I'll say, so it turns out that Lamaisa, the Mishnah, is teaching us an incredible novelty. That there is an opinion of Rabbi Meir that Avodim are not like Karka. We've always seen, the reason we were kind of getting ourselves into a Talmudic pretzel over here, because we're trying to figure out how could there be a Shavua when we're dealing with Avodim and Avodim are Karkos. To which the Gemara says, no problem. The novelty in the Mishnah is the Mishnah reflects the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that an Eved, right, a servant, is not like real property. Servant is like movable property. Oh, well, say, if that's the case, then I totally get why there's a Shavua. Because this is all about metal, all about movable property. Vakati, mashatanu lo hodolo, umashahodolo lo tano. But again, all right, so even if you take care of the fact that an Eved is like metal, so I can take a Shavua, you haven't gotten around the fact that what? There's no what we call, I like this phrase, claim commonality. Right? There's no claim commonality. In other words, they're not claiming and admitting the same thing. And when there's no claim commonality, then again, how could there be a shvua? So even if you hold that avodim are like metaltalin, if there's no claim commonality, how could there be a shvua? To which the one says, oh, shavu'ot kravagam liyom. So we'll say, so, because the Mishnah also affects the Virat Menuhah. So we'll say, you're going to see, this is going to be like a lot of Mishnaic patchwork over here. So we've already said, Rabbi Meir ultimately again holds Avadim is like Metaltim. That's number one. Number two, the Mishnah also affects the view of Rabbi Gamliel. Because what does Rabbi Gamliel say? This nan, Tanu Chitim Behodol Sa'orim. We'll say, listen to this. I claim Reuven. You owe me $1,000 worth of wheat. And Reuven says, I only owe you $500 worth of barley. So it says, what's the halacha? Butter. So the Rabbanon hold that's not called modi b'miktsas. Right? That's not called partial admission. Why? Why? Because what Reuven is admitting is not what I am claiming. But Rabbi Gamliel Machayev. Rabbi Gamliel ultimately says that what? No, that is called Mogda B'miksa. So we'll say, therefore, our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Gamliel, who holds that even if there is not claimed commonality, there could still be an obligation for Shavua. So far again, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, who holds that Avaldim are like Metalpilin. Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Gamliel, that you do not need claimed commonality, and watch this, Vakati! Heilichu. But one sec, what do we do about the fact that it's Heilich? So we'll say, remember again, Heilich, what we said before, is that when there is a quote-unquote partial admission, but the part that I am admitting, I'm readily able to give you and pay you right now, then, according to many, that's no longer called Moda B'miktsas. That's as if, again, I've satisfied the claim right here and now. Is this not a case of Hilich as well? Because, again, I'm saying Reuven has told you the smaller Evet, and here it is. If that's the case, there should still be an obligation for Shavuah. Amar Rava, Avda Dikat Eliyadeh. We're talking about over here, Bosai, where, again, the slave that I claim that I sold, I cut off his hand. Or v'sada shechafar baboros sichinu ma'oros. Or the field that I claim that I sold, ultimately, again, I dug pits and holes in it. Which I will say means, well, look at Rashi, dekat li adela hu evet katan, demode le bigabe. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, this is not a case of helich why, because lemaisa, again, that even which I am claiming that I sold you is no longer usable. Therefore, again, there's no helich. So we'll say, if you put this all together, so the Mishnah reads well. Now, so again, so I need Rabbi Meir. Avaldim are like Metaltalin. I need Rabbi Gamliel that you don't need claim commonality, and I lopped off the hand of the Eved. And if you put this all together, it's a seamless reading of the Mishnah. So let's say, so understand, of course, this is not going to really stand up all that much. Because now, again, it can stand up. In general, we do not like putting. Now, if this is the only way to interpret the Mishnah, then that's how we'll interpret it. But lamaisa, we don't like this because, in general, we like Mishnayos to reflect an opinion. We don't like Mishnayos having to be a patchwork or a chalent of a variety of different opinions. But again, if that's the only way to explain it, that's the way we explain it. For Rabbi Meir, ipcha shamin alei. But one second. You told me that Rabbi Meir holds that an Eved is like Metaltalin. Yet, I have Rabbi Meir on record as saying differently. So Rabbi Meir says something opposite. What does Rabbi Meir say? Tisnan, gazal behema behezkino. If you stole an animal and it got old, we'll say, six master above common days, you stole an animal and it got old. Behezkino, mishalim kishas hagzela. So we'll say, so you have to go ahead and pay the value of the animal at the time it was stolen. Also, remember again, that's how you pass on halacha l'maisa. That's whenever you steal something, so the value of the theft is locked in at the time of the theft. Rabbi Meir says, but if you steal avodim by avodim, omer lo harisha chalif anechem. By avodim, Rabbi Meir says that you could just return an eved as is. Which Rabbi Meir says is another way of saying what? That an eved can't be stolen. Right? Why can't an eved be stolen? Because Rabbi says there's nothing that can't be stolen, which is what? Karka. So what Rabbi Meir seems to be saying over here is, Harisha Chalaf Anecha is another way of saying that Avadim are like karkos, Avadim are like land, you can't steal real property, and the Eved is like real property, and therefore again, you give back the Eved as is. Take a look at Rashi, Harisha Chalaf Anecha, Tekaimalan Babakama, Karka in Migzelis. Real estate cannot be stolen. V'chomokum Shebishos Ba'alea Omedes. And again, it is always in the possession of the owner, even if someone else is blocking the owner from entry. Therefore, again, when you steal an Eved, you can't really, the Ganav can't acquire the Eved. Therefore, the Eved is considered to be still in the rishus of the master. Therefore, again, the thief returns the Eved as is. So what do you see from here? See that an Eved is like Karko. Well, you just told me before that Rabbi Meir holds that an Eved is like Metaltalin. So that's going on over here. To which the Gemara says, no, Holokashia, Kidemachlif Rabba Bar Avua. Not a problem. Rabba Bar Avua switches around that braisa. But Tani, Rabbi Meir Omer Mishalim Kishas HaGezela. Rabbi Meir is the one who says that when you steal a thief, when you steal a slave, when you steal an Eved, so you pay in accordance with the value at the time of the theft, because you can steal an Eved. Why can you steal an Eved on both sides? Why can you? Because it's not like Karka. V'chachamim Omrim, Omer lo ba'avodim, harei shachal lefanecha. Fine. So we'll say, so we've reversed the Shitas, and therefore Rabbi Meir's Shitas is still intact. Avodim alek metaltin. Ela, So I'll say, so again, how do we know that Rabbi Meir holds? Ela mimai, sorry, Meir makshina and karka le'eved, ma'eved nishbo'in, af karka nishbo'in. So we'll say, so again, it seems to be that Rabbi Meir's sheet is like this. Everybody will agree that avodim are, this is what the Gemara is positing, everyone will agree that avodim are hukshul karkos, that an eved is like real property. So it must be that Rabbi Meir also holds that what? That you swear regarding real property as well. So the Gemara says, ma'ev, so the Gemara says, el mimai, the Savar Rabbi Meir makshinan karka le'eved. So how do we know that Rabbi Meir holds that you compare karka to an eved, or eved to karka? Ma'eved nishbon, af karka nishbon. So we'll say again, now we would say if Rabbi Meir is going to hold that you swear by avadim, then it must be that what? You swear by karka as well. Dilma, it's also possible that what? Maybe Rabbi Meir does not equate avodim and karka at all. And maybe he'll say, by avodim you do take a shvuah, but by karka you do not. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Lo, hamachlif para b'chamar, v'yolda, v'china mocher shivcha, so v'yolda. Because we'll say, listen to this. We learned in a braisa that what? If one goes ahead and does chalipin, right? A cow for a donkey. And what happens? The cow gave birth, or one sells a shifcha, and the shifcha gave birth. Ze omer birshusi v'ze shosek. So the seller says, the animal gave birth before I sold it. V'ze, and the purchaser is quiet. I don't know. I don't know what happened. So ze omer eini odeh, v'ze omer eini odeh. Or for that matter, again, this one says I don't know, this one says I don't know. Yachloku, they split it. Ze omer birshusi, v'ze omer birshusi. But if this one, if both claim, no, the animal gave birth in my rishus, then what's the halacha? Yishava hamocher shebirshuso yolda. Ultimately, the seller swears that the animal gave birth in his rishus, and he gets to keep the animal. Why? Lefi shekol ha-nishba'in shebatora, nishba'in v'lo misham div Rabbi Meir. Because the Meir holds that any time there's an obligation for a shuravosai, a shvua is a mechanism to exempt one from liability. So you take a shvua in order not to pay. The chum say, ein nishba'in lo al ha'avadim v'lo ha'karkos. I will say, the chacham on the other hand say, no, we don't take a shvua either on avadim or on karkos. This precision of the chumim. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, why is this important for us? Lav michlal, the Rabbi Meir Savar Nishbain. Now both sides, we could infer from this that what? That Rabbi Meir holds that you do take a shvua. As both sides, the fact that Chum say that we don't take a shvua on karka and avadim indicates us that Shitas Rabbi Meir is that we do swear regarding karka and avadim. So what do you see? That according to Rabbi Meir, he lumps together karka and avadim. And the same way there is no shvua on an eved, there's also no shvua on a karka. On karka, to which the Gemara says, so we'll say, perhaps what the Chumar is saying to Rabbi Meir is the following. So perhaps what the Chumar is saying to Rabbi Meir is the following. Rabbi Meir, you already agree with us when it comes to karka, meaning you already agree with us that there's no shivu on karka, you should also agree with us when it comes to avadin. So what's what the Gemara is suggesting over here is it could be that Rabbi Meir's position simply is that avadim and karkos are not linked. And that avadim, karka there's no shivua, but by avadim there will be shivua. Teida, let's analyze this. This nan, Rabbi Meir Omer, yesh tevarim shen kekarka ve'ein an kekarka, ve'ein chachamim modim lo. There are things, Rabbi Meir says, there are things that are like karka, but yet are not karka. And the Chachamim agree with him. We'll say, now what is this case? Keitzad, yud gifanim tunos masarti lecha. So listen to this. I claim, Ruvain, I gave you over 10 laden vines. V'hala omer einon ela chamesh. And ultimately, again, Ruvain claims, no, I only have five. Rabbi Meir says, we both say, you're a chayiv in the shvua of modi b'miktsas in this case. The chum say, no, kol mechubel karka, hari huki karka. The chum say, we both say, in this kind of case, there is no obligation for shvua. Why? Because the vines are mechubel karka, and the vines are negative, anything that's mechubel karka is kikarka. Therefore, this is a claim of karka, and there is no shvua by any claim of karka. And Rabbi Yossi Rechanina says, machlokis over here is grapes that are ready to be harvested. One opinion says, Rabbi Yossi, that as soon as grapes are ready to be harvested, it's as if they've actively been harvested. And the other opinion says, Rabbi Yossi, no, that even though they're ready to be harvested, as long as they're not yet harvested, then what? They're still considered to be mechuber. Eli olam kiboshia. The Rabbi Yossi says the Gemara, we're going to go back and we're going to say that in fact, again, we're going to understand the Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. I will say again, the Kasha the Chaz Zok, again, just remember what Rabbi Yossi say. Rabbi Yossi on the top of Kuf Amud Beis said that the case of the Mishnah is where we're claiming the Eved as well as his clothing. Right? That's the case of the Mishnah. I'm claiming I sold Reuven a small Eved with his clothing. Reuven is claiming he bought a large Eved with its clothing. So that was Rabbi Ushia's interpretation of the Mishnah. I, with the Kashi Lacha Zokikin, and yet we asked on that, but one second, does that mean the Mishnah is just coming to teach me about Zokikin? Is that all the Mishnah is coming to teach me? That of Gilgul Shvua, that since I'm going to be swearing about the clothing, I'll swear about the Eved also? So it's Tirik Sakadait Chamin, to which the Gemara says yes, and I'll tell you why. Even though we've learned about the concept of Zokikin before, this is still a necessary ruling. Why? Because I would have thought that the clothing of an Eved is like the Eved himself. So I was supposed to say the Havamina is, I would have thought that you can't make an independent claim about the clothing of an Eved. That maybe the clothing of the Eved is bottled to the Eved. Kamash Malam, no. That the clothing of an Eved is considered to be metaltalin versus the Eved, which is the Eved. And therefore the novelty in the Mishnah is that halacha lemaisa, once I claim about the clothing, and I have to take a shua about the clothing, that shua could also devolve upon what? The Eved himself. That's the novelty of the Mishnah. Kamash Malam, both say that we don't say the clothing is bottled to the Eved. We don't say that the sheaves are bottled to the field. But also, let's just go a little bit weiter. So, ze omer, eni odev, ze omer, eni odeyach loku. So remember again, but this one says, we'll say this is the last case of the Mishnah, both are claiming they don't know what was sold. So, ha money, and therefore the halach is they split it. Ha money, whose opinion is this? Sumchasi, darmamana motobosavik cholkim. So, also remember again, we had shita sumchas yesterday already, whenever you have doubt, money in doubt, so again, the resolution is you split it. Ema sefer, yeah, look at the end of the Mishnah. Ze omer b'shusi, ze omer b'shusi yishava, ha mocher b'shusi yalda. So, we'll say, so again, what's the sefer? The sefer is, both are claiming definitively, right? This one says the cow gave birth in my rishos. This one said the cow gave birth in my rishos. So what's the halacha? You split it. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So what happens? So the seller swears that the animal gave birth in his rishos and he keeps it. To which the Gemara says, "Ulu Rama Barafuna Damar in Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari Bari Uma Yishava Mocher Yachloku." So both says, to which the Gemara says, but one second, according to what we said earlier, according to Rama Barafuna, who says that Shita Sumchus of Yachloku is even what? Is even in the case of Bari Ubari. So even when they both make definitive claims, why don't we say Yachloku? To which the Gemara says, Mibai, I'm sorry, Modes Sumchus, Hecha Diika Shvua Doraisa, Udekata Liyada Kidira. Because what, as we said before, even Sumchus will agree that in a case where there is a biblical obligation for an oath, even Sumchus will agree that Lamaisa, again, you have to take the oath. And again, as we set up before, this can't, so this will be a modiv and mixas case, if there'll be an obligation for an oath. And you can't claim halach. Why can't you claim halach? Because at the end of the day, we set up this case as dealing with a situation where the hand of the Eved was lopped off, and therefore there is no halach. So we'll have to stop over here for today, but we're going to begin tomorrow. I'm going to give you the halacha Lamaisa actually on the Mishnah. We'll start with Shulchan Aruch tomorrow, because again, the truth is, this case is actually very lemaisa. This case of where you have a chalipin and you have other circumstances that occurred and neither party could claim with, and we don't exactly know when the change of circumstance. In this case over here, the birth of the calf actually took place. So we'll start tomorrow morning, Emir Tzim at 5:55 with the Shulchan Aruch, closing out this sugya, and Emir Tzim then we'll begin with the new Mishnah. Shkoyach.
How come the first transition is not Zayuzba, but Zayuzba? I mean, it's